Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello everyone, it's Adam from Ukrafoot 24 again with my 33rd stop off now on the clubs we'll have been to. Now, a few weeks back, you remember me made cracking the jokes about East 5-5, 4-5-4, or we kept getting the scores the wrong way around when I was at East 5. Now I've come to the rivals. They're not really the rivals as we learned at East 5. But as kids growing up in the UK, you couldn't avoid it. And yeah, I am at 4-4 today. And really lucky, really appreciate Murray McIntosh joining me. For those of you who don't know Murray, he's been at the club for a few years now. And we're going to have a chat about everything over there in beautiful 4-4. Murray, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, all good. Yourself? How's things?
Doing great. Absolutely loving the Scotland series that we're putting out. It's been wonderful learning about all the clubs, and I'm sure this is going to be another great chat tonight. So really thank you for your time. Before we get started, I want to put a shout out to Stel at Shoot for the Fence for all the hard work you do behind the scenes. Thanks, Stel. We really appreciate it. And we wouldn't be able to put out all this great material on Scottish football, which is what we're all about tonight. Murray, you're the star of the show. Now, you've been involved in football. You're still a young lad. How old are you now? 22, 23?
Yeah, 23.
Well, you've been in football for a fair while with a good youth career. You started off at Aberdeen, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. So I was at Aberdeen for 2 years, followed by Kilmarnock.
And how did that work with sort of school life and everything? How did the training and that did school get in the way, should I say?
Yeah, well, a bit of both, I think. But training was difficult at Aberdeen because at Pro Youth, we were training 3 nights a week and then we had a game on a Saturday. So when I was at school, I had to quickly head straight back home, get a quick bite to eat on a train, and then off the train, my dad picked me up from his work and he would then take me to training with the Glasgow boys from Aberdeen. And then, so that was 3 nights a week doing that. And then on a Saturday, it was about a 3.5 hour journey from Ayrshire to Aberdeen for games. So yeah, a lot of effort. So very tired.
How old were you then, if you don't mind me asking?
Not at all. I think I was 11, 12 years old.
Wow. So yeah, that's an epic effort, really was. How did you find it? Were you just totally devoted to football? Shall we say it was the buzz of getting being able to play?
Yeah, definitely. I love football, and Aberdeen's actually a team my dad and some of my family support, even though we're from Ayrshire. So we like Kilmarnock to do well, but Aberdeen is a team that we like in my family, and we've got connections up there. And that's how there was a scout one game for my boyhood club, KSC Cali Thistle, and I get scouted from them, and then I went up on trial and eventually get signed.
Cool. And I mean, what was it? So you say you did your 2 years there and then you joined Kilmarnock. Was that because of the setup, or was it just to ease on the travelling?
No, not at all. It was due to the setup, and I got released at a young age from Aberdeen. I was a late developer, I would say. So I struggled at times and I didn't play much either. So I was starting an odd game, but mainly coming on as a substitute. So it probably was better for both parties that I left at a young age anyway.
Again, what are your memories from your time at Kilmarnock? Obviously, it's a great club and would have been close to home as well.
Yeah, Kilmarnock was brilliant. So I was there for 5 years and met a lot of great people there. Some coaches that really helped me along the way, even though it was very harsh, some of the coaching, but it was life lessons, which was good. And a bit less travelling, which was ideal as well. And I've actually ended up playing against some of my old teammates and they've went on to do really well. So it's great to see a lot of players doing well from the youth teams that I've played in.
That's cool. Now, I mean, I'm the quick mathematics in here, I'm not the greatest. So you were there from 13 to 18, if I've counted it right.
Yeah, so 12 or 13 to just at about 17 years old, because I missed the cut-off for playing full-time at under-20s at the time.
Okay.
So that's when I get released from Kilmarnock. So, yeah, released twice from Pro Youth, which was difficult at the time, but everything's worked out great after that.
Ah, that's cool. That's cool. Now, I've got to ask the question. I mean, what was your take? It's something that I found been an interesting discussion. So that 16 to 18, going into 19s, you mentioned there, signing up for the under-20s teams in Scotland. What's your view on the playing the youth football against going out on loan to the lower, you know, to the junior league sides to get the experience against adults? You know, which side of the fence do you sit in that debate?
Yeah, well, obviously, players are developing at a young age, so you just need to watch when you're sending them out on loan. It's not going to be too physical, but if they're ready, I think it's a great opportunity for them because they're maybe not quite reaching the first team. So if they go out on loan, they get that experience against seasoned pros, I would say, developed men, players that are going to really test you. And that'll test yourself to see if you're ready to then hopefully perform well on loan and then go back to your team and get into the first team.
And obviously you didn't spend long when you went out to Carnoustie, Steve, but was that sort of the thinking behind it there to give you some exposure to senior football?
Well, I'd already played a season at Forfar. My debut season, we got promoted and I played the first half of that. And we went on a great run. It was one of the best in the club's history, I think. Games without defeat. But then I just got an injury and I was asked to get put out on loan after that. Obviously, I was wanting to fight for my place in the first team, but I thought I need to play football. So, yeah, went out on loan.
I've got to apologise. I thought you were still at Kilmarnock when you went out.
Not at all. So I moved up here for university and I was on trial with Forfar Athletic under-20s. So had a really good season in there and then went straight into the first team.
Can I ask you that? So you chose to move to Forfar because of the university more than, shall we say, the club? You were looking for a club closer to your university?
Yeah, so I came up here to Abertay University, which is in Dundee, and I had a mate, so I played in the Scotland school team, and I had a mate from there who played with Forfar under-20s, mate called Jack, and ended up going in trial and quickly getting signed, and then I've been there ever since. So it's been over 5 years and had a great time so far.
Well, obviously we were talking about this off air earlier. Now you're still doing your masters, if I'm right, at university.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's great you spent the 5 years, you know, in further education. What are you doing there?
Yeah, so I completed my 4 years doing sport and exercise science, and then it's been a year and a half now I've been into my masters, and in 2 weeks I'll be finally finished. So I'm doing a masters by research in physiology.
Brilliant.
So I've chosen my topic, which is to do with movement patterns in football and GPS units. So just everything physiological to do with football, yeah.
I mean, is that, you know, sort of long-term, will you looking to move into the coaching side of it after the playing career? And is this to give yourself a step there?
Definitely. Recently, I just passed my personal training qualification. So I would like to eventually merge my university knowledge with personal training and hopefully develop your regular gym goers to reach their goals, but also performance athletes. That would be amazing.
Fantastic. I mean, I think it's wonderful. Second one, actually, that I've spoken to on this series. I was talking to James Cragen way back now in December. Obviously, and he was at the university, Edinburgh University, before turning pro as well. Now, is this something that you would stress to young players sort of coming through? You hear of people sort of turning their back on education to pursue the pro career, but have you felt the benefits staying in higher education?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. I would recommend to stay in with education. I knew some boys who were still at school but were full-time as well in football, and some of them still done qualifications and some didn't. And I think you realise when you're older that you need that just to open more doors in life. Because you might get a bad injury, for example, and then you need to rely on something else, another skill or talent.
Exactly. Very well said. And now, I mean, I assume Forfar have been very supportive in this and made sure you've got the time to continue your studies alongside being an active part of the first team as you are now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What the training schedules like at Forfar?
Yeah, so in the regular season, we were just a Tuesday and a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. We trained and then we had a game on a Saturday, say. But now that we're back for what feels like our third pre-season of the year, now we're back, we're actually training 4 days a week. So we're in Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So, yeah, it's a big toll on the players, but that's just for the first week, 2 weeks, I think, because we're having to get so much volume in, so we're prepared for the start of the season, which is very soon.
It is. I mean, this will go out after the season's started for people, but we are recording. It's the 10th of March now, so we're about 10 days away from the next kickoff as it's been. You must be so happy to get back playing again after the last few months.
Yeah, delighted, because it's more the indecisiveness of what's been happening. We don't know. Everyone's uncertain, and obviously with jobs and things, like, people rely on football, some of the boys. So yeah, it's great to get our minds settled, hopefully, and we can finish the season off.
I mean, as a player, how do you adapt during sort of these lockdown periods? What do you do to keep yourself fit and sort of mentally fit as well as physically fit?
It's been really difficult because, for example, we had a lot of snow here. So a lot of the boys, including myself, I've been working full time, and then I'd be coming in, I'd maybe have to take a class. And then I'd have to go and do my runs. But we've got a sports scientist at Forfar, which is great. So part-time teams are developing and training. And he's been giving us our training sessions, from running to yoga to bike sessions, all to do at home or at the local park kind of thing. So they've been brilliant.
That's great. That really is great to see. So, I mean, as a club, you know, obviously Forfar is a part-time club, but what's the setup like there? You know, is there a reasonable number of staff to support the club, or is it sort of volunteer base? How's the club organised?
Yes, a lot of the club relies on volunteers for funding, for charitable work. But yeah, obviously the coaching staff and things, that they're paid But yeah, just there's a really does it. Forfar wouldn't be Forfar without the kind of volunteers that help raise money, help do charitable events and things like that.
So I imagine there's a, you know, there's a good vibe in the town towards the club. Then you've got a good sort of supporter base in the town.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great support, and you notice it just so much every week when you're at the stadium, especially when you're playing in a derby against the local rivals and stuff. So the fans are great, and you get messages from them and things like that. So it's always nice, even when things aren't going great. Still message you, which is lovely.
That's good to hear that. Of course, I mean, personally, I know where Forfar is, but for some of our listeners at home, where exactly is it? Now, you say most people know where Dundee is, where you're at uni, but Forfar's in Angus, if I'm right?
Yeah, it's Angus. I'm pretty sure it's north of Dundee. But my geography's not great, but I'm sure it's north and it's not far. It's only about 30 minutes away.
And who are your near rivals, as you mentioned them there?
Yeah, so we've got three. We've got Arbroath, which are huge rivals. We've had many a great game against them. And they're in the Championship now, so they're a league above us. Then we've got Montrose, who are in our league. And then we've got Brechin, who are the league below. So we've got quite a few. One season, we were all in the same league. So there was a derby every 2 or 3 weeks, which was brilliant.
That's great.
Thousands of fans came. So, it's a great experience.
I mean, how big is Forfar? As a town, is sort of 20, 30,000, that sort of size, or are you quite a big population?
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact figure of the population, but it's a very small town. It's great support considering the kind of size of the community.
What sort of numbers are we talking about? Do you top 1,000 or sort of high hundreds?
For games, yeah. So it's kind of a mad contrast because we go from maybe 200 or 300 at home games if it's just a normal team, and then if it's in the cup against a big team or if it's just a derby game, we'll have 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 maybe at times.
Wow, so, that's impressive.
Yeah, so it can fluctuate.
So obviously, Maury, what the fans say, quite a passionate bunch. What sort of noise would they have made sort of pre-lockdown? Was it a noisy place to play your football?
Yeah, no, definitely is. It's a noisy place at times because we have great hospitality. So you get large groups going in for their hospitality, their meals, their drinks, and then they'll come out for the kickoff and for us warming up, and we'll be singing a few songs, things like that, and then we've also got the young supporters who are banging their drum at times. So it's a great mix of age groups as well.
That's cool. That is cool. Now, on the flip side, obviously one of the things I've been sort of really impressed with whilst talking to all the clubs around Scotland, if I'm honest, is how well people sort of the clubs engage with the community as well. Is it a similar story at Forfar? Is there an active sort of supporters trust or anything like that?
Yeah, so we've got the FAFC supporters trust. We've also got things like football fans in training. We've got the charity things we do for local charities, and then I'm sure there's been some kind of collections for food banks and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So lots of local community work has been done, not just by the club, but by the community, that them kind of linking up so that they can help people in the local area. It's brilliant, and most clubs are the same. They have a lot of help. And an example, even the players, we were on a Zoom call with a Brownies club, which was set up by some of the the people in the trust, and that was so because of lockdowns they can't get their badges for things, so this helped them speaking to the people involved in sport to get some of their badges. So things like that, it makes a difference, I think, just putting a smile on folks' faces.
That definitely does. Now, you might not be able to answer the next question, I'll be honest with you. And you may not want to be in a sports scientist as well as a professional footballer. But from the fan side of it, of course, you know, going to a game also involves a cheeky beer or two and maybe something less than healthy to eat during the game. What sort of places are popular around the town? You know, where do people like to go sort of pre-game? Is there a good social club inside the ground?
Yeah, so certainly, as I mentioned, with the hospitality, that's a great area. So it's called the 1984 Lounge. And that's where all the fans who pay for hospitality, they'll go in there for their drinks and they'll get merry and then they'll enjoy the game. There's also local pubs. I couldn't name them. I'd have to ask someone else about that one. But local pubs that the fans will go into before the game to get ready for it. So, yeah, a lot going on that aspect.
Ah, that's good to see. That's good to see. It's always important as a supporter to know that. So one question I forgot to ask, and I do apologise. What's the ground like? Is it a central location? Are you in the town or are you out on the edge of town?
Yeah, no, it's pretty much in town. It's just off one of the main streets. So, yeah, it's really close to town. There is some farmland round about Forfar, but we're pretty much near the middle.
Ah, yeah. And now I'm going to put my sort of football nerd hat on a little bit here. Is it one of the sort of more traditional grounds or is it one of the sort of the newer atmosphere killer grounds, as I like to call them?
No, luckily it's not an atmosphere killer. So it's very traditional. We've got one main stand and then the whole rest of the stadium, that's for standing. So just like the old grounds, it's got the kind of poles to lean on and then it's just, standing the rest of it. So it's brilliant. I really like that kind of old style of stadium.
Now, do the fans get to cross over at halftime or is it, did your away fans just get stuck in a corner?
No, they do. They get to cross over if they'd like.
Brilliant.
But depending the game, sometimes there's maybe security just because if it's a derby. But most of the time, fans can cross over.
Yeah, we talk about that now. What's something I always love to fire? Which places away from Forfar do you enjoy playing at? Obviously, you've been. Am I right? Forfar, you've been in League Two, League One. Have you been up in the Championship with them?
No, not been in the Championship myself, but yeah, League 1 and League 2, and then we get to obviously play some of the top league and the Cups.
Yeah.
So,
Which have been your sort of favourite places to go play football?
Yeah, so I definitely, any derby's brilliant, so when I'm at the kind of local rivals, that's amazing just because most of us have old kind of style stadiums as well, and there's a lot of fans there.
Oh, yeah.
But my away fixture was Kilmarnock, so I actually went back to them in the Scottish Cup, and I had a lot of my family and friends there, so that was brilliant to play against my old team. And one of my old teammates as well, who were in the first team, so I'd say both of them, because the other kind of top flight teams, we've luckily been at home, or not so luckily, because you're wanting to visit big stadiums.
Yeah. The Ibroxes and Parkheads of this world. Have you played at Hampden? Are you one of those that have been able to play Queen's Park at Hampden?
Yeah, that's correct. played there a few times, actually. But I remember one time because I played really badly. So a lot of my career, I've been versatile and playing out of position. So I was fullback and I just kept kicking the ball out the park, not going to lie. So it was a nightmare that game. But yeah, it's a great surface to play on. And just a bit eerie when you're obviously used to all the Scotland fans in there, or it's for semi-finals and finals. But when we're playing there, it does sound quite empty.
A bit like every stadium at the moment. I mean,
definitely.
But you can't wait for sort of getting supporters back in. I haven't asked anyone this, but just out of curiosity, have you had to adapt to sort of playing without supporters in there, sort of mentally, shall we say?
Yeah, definitely. I think certain players might go into the game and it more feels like a friendly, because you've not got any fans, you've not got any big build up, but obviously, as you should be, you're just professional about things and you just need to go into it knowing that it's for 3 points kind of thing, and it's a big deal. But yeah, it's a bit of a killer for everyone in the game that there's no fans at all. It's difficult.
Fair enough. Oh, Murray, it's been great to chat. I've really enjoyed it. It's great to get the sort of, you know, insight into life at 4-5. Now, when this goes out, of course, you'll have had your first game, but I'll still like to wish you best of luck for it, and hoping for the 3 points. Hope the season kicks, you know, sort of re-kicks off in a positive manner, and you get some good points on the board for the remainder of this season. As it stands, nobody seems to know if it's going to be 18 games, 20 games, 27 games, or how many games people are going to play before the end of this year. But I'm sure you guys are going to do well, and I wish you the best of luck to yourself.
Thanks very much, and thanks for having me on. It's appreciated.
I really enjoyed it. Now, people want to obviously follow 4-5's story or your story on social medias. Is there anywhere way they can connect with you?
Yeah, of course. For 4-5, they've got a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and a Twitter. Myself, I'm just Murray McIntosh on Facebook, Murray McIntosh on Instagram, and then I also have a personal training page, so you'll see that from that. So yeah,
we'll put a link in the podcast for it.
Definitely sounds good. Perfect.
That's great.
That's brilliant, Adam.
Cheers. And that's it from me, everyone, today. I'm Adam, of course, at Grimfoot24, and it's been the 33rd stop off on the Welcome to Scotland series. Only eight more clubs left to go until we've done the entire league. So it's kicking on well. Till next time, everyone, take care and stay safe.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.